Okay, everybody, our first song.
You guys can sit down, we're gonna start.
Everyone needs compassion. Everyone needs compassion, a love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations, hope of the nations, hope of the nations, Savior. He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save forever. Author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Everything I believe in, now I surrender, Savior, He can move the mountains, my God is mighty to save, He is mighty to save, forever, author of salvation, He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shining light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shining light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Okay, everybody stand up for the theme song.
Take my life, I lay it down at the cross where I am found. All I have I give to you, O God. Take my hands and make them clean. Keep my heart in purity, that I may walk in all you have for me. Oh, here I stand, arms open wide. Oh, I am yours, and you are mine. Take my moments and my days, let each breath that I take ever only for you, O God. Oh, here I stand, arms open wide. Oh, I am yours. give it all, surrender to your name, and forever I will pray, have your way, have your way. My life is yours, I give it all, surrender to your name, and forever I will pray, have your way, have your way. Oh, 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 hear us turn, arms open wide. Oh, 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 I am yours and you are mine. Oh, oh, your way, have your way.
You may be seated.
Do you want to pray?
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day you've given us. The sunshine, the warmth, not only out there, but the warmth of friendship and of one another. And we thank you for this week of prayer. Bless us in this meeting, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. So when Stephen and I were in college, real quick, I'm going to tell you this. We had a ministry that Stephen kind of led out in called Summit Ministries. No, it wasn't mountain summits. It wasn't summiting the pinnacle or anything. All it was is a great ministry. We went to help this little community near college called the Summit Community, and there were some lower-income people there that needed some assistance and needed some help. So we went there, and there was this older lady who had a house that was condemned that she couldn't live in anymore, so they had built another house behind the old cinder block house, but she was still paying taxes on the old cinder block house. So Stephen had heard about this along with a couple of our other friends, and they said, let's go tear down the old house so she doesn't have to pay taxes on it and go help out this old lady. So we were doing that, tearing it down. Old cinder blocks, you know, they're pretty heavy. They're 8s or 12s. These were 8s. And there's one whole wall that we wanted to push over all at once. It was about 8, 10 feet high, about 15 feet long or more. Oh, it was like 30 feet long. Yeah. And so there was 6 of us that got to one side of it, and we all said, 1, 2, 3, and we pushed it over. And there was the news cameras there taking video of us and everything. But what we forgot was that the septic tank was right in the ground over there, and it all just went. It wasn't too pretty. We filled it all in, covered up with dirt. We were done. Stephen, I hope you have a better story to talk about than septic tanks.
I forgot about that. My goodness, that's a long time ago. Oh, two words. Happy Friday. Happy Friday. Oh, I love Friday. I love Friday. Have you seen them? Have you heard about them? Have you actually tried them? It's called Google Glass. Google Glass, unbelievable technology. It's essentially a cell phone that you wear on your face. Later on, you can go and surprise, you can actually Google it and it'll come up. Google Glass, it's a pair of glasses and basically frames, really, and it has a little camera right up here, and there are people testing this right now throughout the nation and the world. And basically, Google thinks that eventually we'll get tired of carrying cell phones in your pocket or your purse or your hand, and so we can then wear it on our face. And essentially, what you can do, if I was wearing a pair just now, I could be walking around up here and I could say, okay, glass, take a photo. And whatever I'm looking at, it would take a photo or a video. Or if I so chose, I could actually send whatever I'm seeing to anyone's computer anywhere in the world. And so your parents, wouldn't that be lovely? They could see exactly what I'm seeing, and they'd be so proud to see you here in real time. It's incredible. If you are lost, you can audibly call up a GPS, and it won't just tell you where to go. It will show you. It actually, you'll see it there in front of you, and you'll see the road going back and forth. You're curious about what's in the news. You can read it right there in your glasses. Cell phone on your face. A cell phone on your face. Unbelievable. We live in a world where technology is getting louder and louder and louder. In fact, it is screaming at us. And my question is, will we still be able to listen to each other? Will we? This past summer, I was in a little tiny town called Joseph, Oregon. And I was in this little store. And I turned around and I almost bumped into someone, and it was a woman of just about my age. And she got this huge smile on her face, and she said, "Stephen, no way." And I looked at her, and I had no idea who she was. And she kept talking, "Oh, what are you doing here?" And so we made small talk like you do, sort of when you don't know someone. And we talked, and about halfway through, it hit me. I graduated from UCA with this person. And we continued to talk, and our whole conversation, I was trying desperately to remember her name. I was trying desperately to remember anything at all about her. And I couldn't remember anything. I went home, and I got out my old yearbook, and I flipped through, and I found her, and I now know her name. But there's a reason that I didn't know her name. One of the seniors asked me a question in class that's an important one. And they said, what do you most regret in life? And I said, well, I'll tell you what I most regret from UCA. When I was here on campus, I had my group of friends that I loved dearly. And we had the greatest time together. We'd hang out as much as we could. We'd eat together. We'd go play outside together, go whatever. Everything was together. And I now, looking back, recognize that I became so exclusive. Every day as a student here at UCA, I walked past people who were by themselves. Every single day in the cafeteria, I walked by people who were eating all alone as I went to my table overflowing with friends. And if I could do one thing differently now, I would be more inclusive. I'm not saying I wouldn't hang out with my friends. I'm saying I would go to that person that's by themselves and say, come eat with us. I'd go to that person who's outside by themselves and say, come over here and hang out with us. And that's my greatest regret. The reason I couldn't remember her name is not because I have a bad memory, though I do. It's because she was someone that I just never bothered actually sitting with and talking with and listening to. Have you ever watched a movie and it's so bad that you say, "Phew, that's 2 hours of my life I can never get back"? Have you ever said this? Well, the reality is this. Every 2 hours of your life is 2 hours you can't get back. The last hour you just spent, you'll never get that back. You have a finite number of hours in your life. And that's why I think it means so much when someone spends 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour just listening to us. Because they have given us an hour that we can never get back. And it's valuable. It's valuable. And in a world that screams at us with all the technology, I hope that you will take time to listen to each other. Secondly, however, I hope that you, in a world where technology screams, will listen for the voice of God. For the voice of God. I have become convinced that God would rather whisper than yell. He'd rather whisper than yell. Most of the time he starts out with a whisper. Occasionally, we don't hear him, so he has to shout. And I think a classic example of this is a story in 1 Kings 19, beginning in verse 11. This is Elijah. He is at the lowest point of his life. He's hiding in a cave. And listen to what happens. The Lord says to him, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" I think God would rather whisper than yell. The question is, are we listening? Are we listening? I'd like you to raise your hand if you're 17 years old right now. 17 years old. Wow, lots of 17-year-olds. Lots of 17-year-olds. There is a famous 17-year-old, at least within the Adventist world, a very famous 17-year-old. Some of you are like, he's talking about me. I'm not actually, though I'm sure you're famous in the Adventist world. I'm thinking of a woman who, when she was 17, heard that whisper from God. She heard that whisper from God. Her name at the time, of course, was Ellen Harmon. Ellen Harmon. She heard that whisper from God, and she did not want to hear from God. She didn't. And I appreciate just her honesty in the fact that when God speaks to her, she's not going like, ooh, yes, God picked me to speak to. Yeah, I get to go out and... No, she's like, no way, God. And I think most of you at the age of 17, probably any age at all, would kind of react that way, like, whoa, wait a second. In fact, I'm going to read something that she said when she first received a vision, a whisper from God. She says, "After I came out of this vision," remember she's 17 years old, "after I came out of this vision, I was exceedingly troubled. My health was very poor, and I was but 17 years old. I went to the Lord in prayer and begged him to lay the burden on someone else. It seemed to me that I could not bear it." Ultimately, I'm glad she did. I'm glad she did listen. Because I believe as a church community, we have a richer understanding of Jesus because of a woman inspired by God named Ellen Harmon White who listened. Who listened. I went by the library today. It's amazing. All through the library, there's all these books. You guys, this is really exciting. And I went to a certain section of the library because I was looking for this exact set of books. And it's books, of course, written by Ellen Harmon White. And this is one of her most famous series of books. And I thought I'd just sit and read to you all five of them, if that's okay. But you do need to know something, though, because these are so amazing. Five books that basically trace the whole history of humans from right up from creation all the way to the second coming of Jesus. And there's five books. You know she wrote a ton. But I want to show you something that perhaps you've never seen before. This is so exciting. So the first book. So five books. This is a lot of writing. This is more than most of us will ever write In the first book, first chapter, first page, first sentence. Are you ready for this? Here it is. Here it is. God is love. Period. That's a strong start. And then she writes, and she writes, and she writes, she writes. She gets to the fifth book. And if you go all the way, this is crazy, this is crazy. You can go in the library, you can look this up to make sure I'm telling you the truth. Maybe you could just Google it, but you should look it up to make sure I'm telling you the truth. She's written five books now. The last page of the last book of this series, the last sentence. Would you believe it? Would you believe it? Do you think this was on purpose? Here it is. Here's the whole sentence. From the minutest atom, A-T-O-M, from the minutest atom to the greatest world, all things animate and inanimate in their unshadowed beauty and perfect joy declare that God is love. Are you kidding me? I'm glad a 17-year-old listened. I'm glad she listened and she passed on that message of the love of God. One more thing I want to read from her because it just, I mean, it's all about what we're talking about this week. Here it is. Here it is. This is so good. This is so good. Listen to it closely. The sacrifice of Christ, she says, the sacrifice of Christ as an atonement for sin is the great truth around which all other truths cluster. In order to be rightly understood and appreciated, every truth in the Word of God, from Genesis to Revelation, must be studied in the light that streams from the cross of Calvary. She says, I present before you the great, grand monument of mercy and regeneration, salvation and redemption, the Son of God uplifted on the cross. In fact, I think if she was here today, she might say something like this. The most important thing is to keep the most important thing. The most important thing. And the most important thing is a Jesus who listens and calls us to be listeners, and a Jesus who still speaks. Who still speaks. Pray with me. Father God, you have built into us this desire, this need for communication. Thank you that you still speak. And just now, I pray that each one of us in this room, first of all, would allow you to dwell in our hearts and that you would change us from the inside out. And as you're changing us, God, I pray for two very specific things to happen. One is that you would give us so much love in our hearts that it would overflow to people who are lonely on this campus, that it would overflow to people who need someone to eat with, someone to be listened to, someone to talk to. Would you just overflow us with that kind of love? And secondly, God, would you give us moments every day where we can listen for your voice. May we hear you and obey. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen, amen.